Hello. Okay, levels are good. You're probably wondering what I'm looking at, aren't you?
No, I know exactly what you're looking at.
Exactly, you're not silly. Right, levels are good. We are recording again. Everyone is happy. At least I
Yep.
hope. All right. So you ready? You ready to do some StarCraft 2 talking, mate?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Right. Show starting in 3, 2, 1. Hello everyone, welcome to the RMI Fusion Cast with me, Tony. Join us today for his first individual podcast is
Kieran.
Yay, or otherwise known on the site as Prof Nova. Tell me, mate, where did you get that name from anyway?
I kind of just come up with it.
Just an explosion in your head, was it?
I was thinking of names and that one popped up, so I thought, yeah, that'll do.
Oh, fair enough then. Sounds good. But mind you, your Skype surname is Peter Griffin, so
yeah, that was before my new one. I need to change. I need something more, a bit more original.
Yeah, that is true. Well, you look at mine. My one actually comes out of Hyperion, which actually you might find is actually rather relevant to what we're talking about today,
yeah.
Isn't it? But anyway, welcome back, everybody. We do hope you've been enjoying the show so far. Like I say, Kieran's here for his first time on his own because he was with us for the Xbox. Well, could say more of a rant than a discussion, wasn't
yeah.
it? So it's all good. So hopefully he may be joining us for a few more in the podcast in the future. Okay, so let's move along. Kieran, what have you been up to, buddy?
Playing video games. All I've been doing. Mostly just playing either League of Legends, the game I'm addicted to. Even if it is bad, I'm still addicted to it. Playing a lot of Surgeon Simulator.
Oh yeah, we know far too well how much you've been playing that one.
I just can't get enough. It's just too fun.
Well, I remember. Was it about a month ago when League of Legends went down with the problems, and you was virtually we could virtually hear your chair rocking back and forth because you were getting so much withdrawal symptoms, weren't you?
Yep. It was like must play LOL.
Oh, it's terrible. Exactly. So, yeah, you played Surgeon Simulator. Has that been a game that's really grabbed you?
Yeah, it's one of those games that you can start up at any given time, it'll load up quick, and you can just piss about in it. It's like a good little bit of fun, because what's more fun about grabbing a surgical axe, one swing, and you've just took off some guy's skull?
I think the people who made that game were obviously smoking some sort of drugs when they thought about
yep.
that.
Yep.
Yeah, so anything else that's grabbed your attention?
Steam Summer Sale.
Oh, yes, I was just about to mention that. Will you please get out of my head? Yes, the Steam Summer Sale has started.
It's depleted.
Yeah.
Rapidly.
And it started when my wallet was friggin' empty. It does it every single time. Mm. I swear to God, I'm going to put £10 on my account each month up to the Christmas sale. So when that one starts, I'm going to buy every damn thing that's on there.
Yeah.
But for any guy who plays on the PC, if you're not using Steam, one, why not?
Yeah.
And two, check out the summer sales. The price they're giving games away is ludicrous, isn't it, mate?
Yeah. Say, look, Just Cause 2, £2.
Yeah. I was looking at Street Fighter Cross Tekken, $9.99.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I just want the Secret World to come down a bit lower than what it is at the moment.
Mm.
And they do flash sales and everything. So if you something will just pop up. It's like, oh, my God, that's a bargain.
Yeah.
And then you can run off giggling like a schoolgirl because you've got it.
Yeah. And then you can slowly lose your life to it. And then you find
yeah,
another game.
Yeah, that is true. Mind you, I think the one we need to carry on again, we started Borderlands with Tiny Tina, didn't we?
Yeah, that was fun.
That for anybody who turns around and says that DLC packs aren't worth the money, Just look at the effort. That we only played it for an hour, and you can check out the video on the site as well. We only played it for an hour, and we was in stitches for the whole entire first hour.
Yeah.
Of the whole entire... It was just done so well. And I just can't create enough. But the good news is, old Randy Pitchford, isn't it? The guy at Gearbox? He said more DLC to come. So
it is becoming DLC, the video game.
It definitely is. But when you do look at it, if you get these companies, if they produce good quality DLC, it's worth the money.
Yeah.
And Borderlands DLC, in my own honest opinion, is definitely worth the cash. For what you get for £8.
Yeah.
Or £5 if you've got the season pass. It's definitely worth your money. And anyone that sits there buying Call of Duty map packs thinking they're getting their money's worth, please stop kidding yourself.
Yeah, they just get all the buildings and assets from other maps, put them in another place, and then go, oh, look, it's a brand new map, fresh model. And it's like, no, it isn't. It's just reused assets. Don't bullshit me.
Yeah, exactly. We're PC owners are not fooled by this. You know far too well they had those maps made as soon as the game was finished.
Mm.
Yeah. So, like I say, look at the thing. The Black Ops 2 has now dropped out the top 10.
Yep.
And the fact that these games like Terraria and virtually games that are embarrassing for basically what they are beating the so-called the world's best-selling game.
Yeah, it's like it was actually beaten by Magicka, a card game. A huge, massive RPS published by a big company, beaten by a card game.
Exactly. It just shows that the PC owners know a little better. So, but mind you, with the next generation of consoles, we're kind of all becoming PC orientated, aren't we?
Yeah. Especially as they're using PC parts majority. It's like not even anything special like Sony, completely out of the blue. You know, usually they're like, oh, our own specific CPU designed for BIOS for us. And instead they just went, you know, we're just going to stick some PC parts in it and have fun with it.
Yeah, exactly. I think they learnt their lesson from the very poor sales of the PlayStation 3 at the start, didn't they?
Yeah, plus it pisses off developers when they come out with some weird architecture and the devs are just like, how the fuck are we meant to use this?
Yeah, exactly. But they've done better this time. They've done well.
Yeah.
And it's also made Microsoft very nervous, put it that way.
Yeah.
And I'll give you one story which Will dug up as well. Was there's actually somebody put a petition up to put the DRM back on the Xbox One.
Oh, I saw that. And you know what I think it is?
What
I think
it?
It's 4chan on one. they've done stuff like this before. Like, you know, they'll create like a script or something so it keeps voting and voting and voting over and over again. And the server thinks it's different people, so you get thousands of votes. And it's probably them just trying to make it run into the ground.
Mm. But if it is people sitting there saying they want it back, I think Angry Joe had the best analogy of the whole entire thing. Because Microsoft took away that one, they also took away the family planning.
Mm.
Sorry, the family planning. you got to impregnate your Xbox One. no, the family sharing. They took that away as well, and everyone said, "Oh, you gamers, it was your responsibility. It's your fault that they took away the family sharing." No, it wasn't. Microsoft decided to took it away. Because they decided to take their pick up their ball and walk off and go home.
Yep.
Yeah, so don't go blaming the gamers, people. It was Microsoft. They didn't have to take away the family sharing program. I have a personal theory. I reckon that the game developers were behind it. Because can you imagine Activision sitting there saying, oh, by the way, one person's buying a copy of Call of Duty Ghosts and him and nine others are playing that same one copy? No.
No, Activision's very against that. They're like,
oh, yeah.
What? We don't get 8 more payments? Fuck that.
Yeah, exactly. So if people say it's the gamers, nah, trust me. It's the game developers. They're not going to let that happen. And even if they did, I will guarantee you multiplayer will be locked out to the people who are on the share plan.
Yeah.
Because they are not going to let people play multiplayer for free.
On PC, you could play the same... you could obviously install it and use the same CD key for like Call of Duty. However, if two people with the same CD key went on the server, it'd kick one of them off.
Exactly. I remember the Command & Conquer series, and this was years ago, even with Red Alert 2, which I think came out in 2000, I think it was. Even back then, they had a thing where it could notice a duplicate key and kick the person off.
Yeah.
So, if anyone starts going, oh, but they can't do things, shut up. I think the funniest part was when they took the DRM round, I remember the Angry Joe interview with Major Nelson, and Angry basically said, you could do that, can't you? And Major Nelson got all hissy fitting up in Joe's face, saying, "Look, are you on the dev team?" And it was great when you're watching the video. You see Joe replay that segment, and then when it goes back to him, all you see is this smug look on his face. Mm. It's just like, "Gotcha, you bastard."
Yeah.
So yeah, but other than that, no, I don't think there's been anything really that important coming around in the gaming world, is there?
Not really. All the main big thing's already been and gone. The new generation of consoles. And now, to be honest, the biggest thing on gaming is the Steam Summer Sales.
Yeah, that's very, very true. And unfortunately for the console owners, they can't join us. But at least if you've got PlayStation Plus, you're getting something decent.
Speaking of PlayStation Plus, I actually bought that the other day.
Oh, nice.
And I paid £50 for a year and got like £300 worth of games.
Yeah, and, exactly.
Do you know what the funny thing was? You heard of the game Catherine, for one, it's your avatar.
Yes.
That was on for that was on there for £60. No, £50. And then PlayStation Plus for a year was £40. And you got Catherine free. I was like,
yeah, exactly.
What?
Exactly. I reviewed it on the site as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, mind you, have you started playing it?
Yes. It's hard.
It's hard, but it's very good, isn't it?
Good, but it's fucking hard.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll save that for another podcast another day. Yeah. Let's go. What are we here to talk about?
StarCraft 2.
Hey. So StarCraft 2, one of the brainchilds of Blizzard Entertainment.
Yes.
This
and the game that took over Korea.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've now you're relatively new to the StarCraft scene, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been a part of the whole StarCraft thing for 12 years. Basically, I got it when it first came out, the first game. And I've been hooked on it. There hasn't been another real-time strategy game in its genre to actually take that game off its throne, in my own honest opinion. They've come, they've tried, they've failed. That's all I've put it. And yeah, the multiplayer, that game blitzed Korea.
Yep. I find it rather amusing as the fact that StarCraft 1 actually did pretty shit.
They actually summed it up in a whole that they've actually sold up to this point 11 million copies of the game. That's the original StarCraft.
Yeah, I remember reading when StarCraft first came out, it was doing quite shit. No one really wanted it. It was about the same time in Korea, you know, the government decided we're going to pour piles of money into the internet, you know, get it all connected. And it was just by chance, StarCraft was one of the games that popped up in a lot of internet cafes, became really popular really quickly, and, you know, obviously sold tons, and that's what made Blizzard decide, you know what, we're going to make a second one.
Exactly, that was one of the things. But I think the other side to it, what made them decide the second one, was basically the fans baying at their door saying, you better make a second one soon or we're going to kill you.
Yeah.
Me being one of them. I remember the one thing when the first trailer for StarCraft 2 got released, and they had the bit with Tychus come off, stick the cigar out and say, damn, it's about time. I literally jizzed myself and and I was like, yes, finally, after 11 years, finally, we're going to get the sequel we want. Because come on, Warcraft had 3 games in between then.
Yeah.
And they worked on World of Warcraft as well. So I'm like thinking, there's a franchise you've been forgetting about for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. Time to put a bit of money into that.
Oh, that I reckon they did put a bit of money. I can put it there. And boy, did they impress.
Yeah.
We're looking at the gameplay. Now, the good thing is, like I said, because you've only played 2, there's not very much difference in the control of gameplay.
Yeah, gameplay, to be honest, is pretty standard RTS. Plenty of keyboard keys need to be pressed and a bit of mouse movement.
Oh, yeah, it's true. That's just basically how any RTS game works. And that's usually why they don't do so very well on the consoles, but hey, never mind.
Right, partially because they don't have enough keys or, you know, buttons.
Yeah, sorry. But then when you sit there and they sit there and go, but you can do this button for this button, this for this button, it's like, there's USB ports on these consoles. Why don't you just let them plug in a mouse?
Yeah.
Because I could do StarCraft with just a mouse.
Yeah.
Well, but as it goes to the gameplay, yes, it's a good old fashioned RTS. You actually at some point do get to play over as two races during the storyline, because you get to be the Protoss for part of the story.
Yeah, I've completed the campaign and I did get to play as them. And I did actually manage to do it to the highest score. I managed to keep the data safe and everything. And I ended up lasting for ages, and the only reason why I actually failed is because there was no resources left. They were all gone. It was like...
Oh, it's a nice RTS game. The resourcing is good. There's two types of resources you can collect, just gas and minerals. Yeah. So nothing too complicated. Just get your workers out and get them bringing them in. Yeah. there's nothing difficult about it. And then just simply build up your bases, and then just go out and stomp on whoever gets in your way, if mission permits it.
Yep.
But like I say, the original one we're now talking about here is the first one, which is the Wings of Liberty, which is the Terran story.
Yeah.
And the start of what's now known as the StarCraft II trilogy. And like I say, if you played StarCraft the original, you're going to be right in there. And you'll be set to go, well, hey, I played this, and you could get straight into the game.
Yeah.
There's not much on a learning curve. In fact, they probably simplify quite a bit on the whole. A lot of things that were upgrades in the previous version are no longer upgrades. They're just part of the whole entire system.
Yeah.
So they did simplify it very well. But other than that, it's build your troops, point and click, and send them in.
Yeah.
So we can't really explain very much on that one. Is there any units you liked on the Terran side which you thought were really cool?
I liked all the units, but one of the things I loved about the Terran was just the fact that I could basically click a button and my base would take off and I could fly it somewhere else. It's like, fuck you, I'm off.
Exactly, and there's actually one of the missions was one where the planet's sun has gone supernova.
Yeah.
And you literally have to move your base. Otherwise it's like, oh look, we're feeling a bit fried here. Could we move the base, please, sir?
Yeah, so it's like, okay, sure, I'll just move it.
Yeah, exactly. So that was one of the upsides to the Terrans. As I said, they need to relocate. Yeah, fuck it, just take it off and move it.
It's like, well, say you want to build a new base now. Nah, fuck it, I'll just take this one.
Yeah, exactly. The only thing you can't take is your supply depots.
Yeah.
But they're cheap as chips. So yeah. You can just
and on the campaign, you press a button and they're just, you know, they're there instantly. If you get that upgrade, and that's extremely handy.
It's very, very handy, because they basically come in from orbit, don't they?
Yeah, they're built instantly. It's like, you know, build more supply depots, click, click, click. Oh, just built three in, like, a second. Done.
Yeah, done as easy as that. And the good side like this, they also extended on the original gameplay as well with the collection during the missions of the Zerg and the Protoss DNA.
Yeah.
And as you collect, you can then go up the rankings and you can adjust your troops to deal with each of the races in particular.
Yeah.
And even then, you get given a choice of which upgrades you want. So it can really, you can really dedicate it to your playstyle. If you like strong base defences, you could get lots of additional base defences to defend yourself with. If you like pushing your troops out further, then you could get yourself additional things for your troops. You could end up getting the science vessel. That is very good against both Protoss and Zerg.
Mm-hmm.
If you choose to use it, and with the EMP shockwave to knock out Protoss shields.
Yeah.
And the irradiate to basically sit there and gas out and Zerg.
Yep.
And even the story-based missions, you get the point to wherever you choose one of the two characters, and then that will determine which unit you're going to have further on in the game.
Yep.
So your choices, for the first time I've seen in an RTS game, really do matter.
Yeah, because you know, it depends what unit you're going to get. Like when I can't remember his name now. The black guy.
Tosh.
Tosh, that's it. Yeah. It's like you get either him and his specters, or you go with the woman. She doesn't come with you, and you get ghosts instead.
Yeah.
However, I choose to go with the specters.
So it's I went for the specters as well. Sorry, Nova, as good looking as you are.
Yeah.
You are. But mind you, I've actually got all the available StarCraft novels.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have the one which basically tells of Nova's origin. It's a very strange Oliver Twist style tale in the future. It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
So the gameplay is nice and standard for RTS. Nothing too complicated. Nothing like, oh, look, here's your units. Here's 50 million orders.
Yeah, and here's 20 different types of resources you need to get. And it's like, oh,
yeah. do you like Age of Empires much?
Yeah. I haven't played Age of Empires.
You've never played Age of Empires?
No, I need to. There's a lot of games I need to play.
Well, think of Age of Empires or StarCraft. With like what you said, it's literally about 20 resources.
Yeah. I played Civ, and that has a lot of resources.
Yeah, but Civ is turn-based.
Yeah.
So that's what I got them. So the graphics themselves are very nice and very well detailed.
One thing I must say about Blizzard's game that I think is amazing and all games should do is the fact that you can play the game before it's even finished downloading.
Yes.
Just download as you play, and because I pretty much did that. I let the first like 700 meg download, and then that's it. I was playing. I didn't really care.
Yeah, by the time you finish the mission, the next one's there and in there, ready to go.
Yeah. And you know, as I played through it, I noticed like some of the textures started to get higher res, and some of the game just started to generally look better as I played. It's a really clever idea.
It's very good, and I will admit, for a strategy game, it's very pretty.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's one of the best strategy games I've seen. But as I've noticed, a lot of the pro players, they always turn the graphics settings to the minimum because they say it's distracting.
Yeah, it's a pretty game.
Yeah.
I will give it that. It's even, especially since the upgrade as well, since Heart of the Swarm came out, it's like if you shoot like basic soldiers near the edge of the cliff, they'll literally fall off the cliffs.
Yeah.
And various other odds and ends. Like the amount for such a small, tiny little trooper, the amount of death animations that little trooper has is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's like Crash Bash. Bandicoot. He has a lot of death animations.
He does. But like, they seem to die, so it responds to all sorts of scenarios. Yeah. Let's say if he's just shot down normally, he'll just fall over dead. But let's say if he's near a cliff face, he'll fall off the cliff face as he dies.
Yeah.
So they've really put the detail in. And the other good side to it is it doesn't actually need a monster system to run either.
No, it can run on pretty low system specs. Oh, if you've got high system specs, then good. You can run the game and make it look amazing.
Exactly. What about the cutscenes?
They are some detailed cutscenes.
They are some detailed cutscenes. When you've got the standard mission based ones, they look good.
Yeah.
But when you go to the proper cinematic style cutscenes, you're like,
yeah, it's never made sense with Blizzard. It's like they've got World of Warcraft and the game looks like shit. Yet when they do their cutscenes, they're like Pixar. It's like, what are you doing?
They're better than Pixar.
Yeah,
they're better than Pixar. Yeah. I will give them that. And the cutscenes in for the cinematics inside StarCraft 2 are just beautiful, especially the one where Zeratul's basically warded off Kerrigan.
Yeah,
and they end out in a fight. That was actually a really, really impressive cutscene. But even the first part where Tychus is getting armored up.
Yeah,
so much detail in that.
Yeah, that was really good, really nice. It's just the fact that even like, you know, even when he steps on the floor, like the way his feet like actually bulge outwards. It's like, you know, little attentions to detail. It just make it look so much better and more realistic.
Oh, it does. This is why Blizzard take their time with their games. They're always, when it comes to their games, their release date is when it's ready.
Yeah, kind of like the Valve approach, apart from Valve take even longer. They're
it's
waiting
true.
For Half-Life here.
Yeah, we wait for Half-Life 3 and we got Duke Nukem Forever. If we didn't get a good payoff for that.
Yeah,
one.
We did.
But with the long side, the story is fantastic.
Yeah.
Which takes it right through, starting off with Jim Raynor, who I think Raynor is a fantastic character.
Yeah.
You really do attach to these guys.
Yeah.
On people sit there and say, oh, you can attach to the people on games like Call of Duty on Emotion Scale. Bollocks.
No, you can't.
But these guys, like I say, I've been with these characters for years. I've read the books. And even people who have just come into the game for the short term, these characters are very believable and they're voiced extremely well.
Yeah. Say the voices as well they choose are perfect for the character. They fit really well.
Yeah. And the Raynor's voice is the same from the original one as well.
Yeah.
They got the same guy back, I believe, after 12 years to do Raynor again. Even when you look at Tosh as well, he has a standard accent as well.
Yeah. Also, I was going to say, like, just Tychus, you know, he looks like a badass, and just that cigar, it seals the deal.
especially with the mission where he steals that massive juggernaut.
Yeah.
And just the sheer amount of damage you do with that is just ridiculous. But like I say, the plot itself is very evolved.
Yeah.
in the whole sort of thing. And there is multiple routes and additions which you can go through. Like I say, when Zeratul boards Rayna's ship, and he gives Rayna the crystal.
Yeah.
The choice to do that is purely optional.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do that or you don't, but you just find yourself intrigued. It's like, why did Zeratul give me this? What's going on? And then when it plays through and then you see the glimpse of the future and it's not a very good one.
Yeah.
You kind of think, ooh.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, I better do something about this.
Yeah, we definitely better do something about this. Otherwise, everything's going to go tits up in a very bad way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the story progresses where basically they're trying to get Sarah Kerrigan, who was Jim's love interest,
yeah,
from the first one, and he never forgave Mensk in the past for what he did, because you probably only seen what basically happened through the cutscenes,
yeah.
But yeah, Mensk ditched her on
I did see that he left her for dead, essentially.
Yeah, but the Zerg went, ooh, you could be useful, yoink.
Yeah.
And
it's like, oh, we're getting a double deal. One, you're useful. Two, your heart get you.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care what anybody says. Sarah Kerrigan is the sexiest alien in the galaxy.
Well, she's a human at first.
She's human at first. She's, oh, what are you talking about? She's still fit as an alien.
Yeah.
Because I've been playing Heart of the Swarm. Because
yeah.
in StarCraft, she's got the green tone to her skin, the very dark green tone.
Yeah.
In Heart of the Swarm, it's lightened up. It's a sort of purplish hue now, yeah. And she looks a lot nicer. I just love the fact how you look at her armor. She has a natural hide type armor, yet it's modeled into high heel shoes.
Yeah,
she's taken over the galaxy in style, man.
Yeah.
But the storyline, well driven.
Yeah.
It's definitely up there amongst some of the really really great.
Yeah, it's a well driven story and likeable characters and characters you can actually feel for. It's not like, you know, Call of Duty where a character dies and you're just like, oh. It's like a character dies and you're like, no!
that's very, very true. No. And I do generally feel that there are certain points, especially where you got to make the choice between either Tosh or Nova.
Yeah.
And again, it does get... Blizzard know how to grab on your emotions. It's like, do I pick Tosh or do I pick the smoking hot blonde chick? Oh, the decisions!
Yeah. It's like, God damn it, you're trying to use my natural male instinct here. Or, you know, what are you doing? Yeah. Stop!
Stop it. Yeah, but so sorry for any female StarCraft players on this one.
Yeah.
do apologise to you on this.
Not being sexist.
But yeah, not being sexist. Well, look at Kerrigan. Yeah, as she proclaims herself in the first game, she is pretty much the queen bitch of the universe.
Yeah,
and that is exactly how she describes herself. It's on the last mission of the Brood War campaign. She's got two Terran Force and a Protoss Force after her,
yeah.
And she just sits there and goes, "What can you guys do? I'm just pretty much queen bitch of the universe right now."
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Yes, you go." It's the sort of woman that could kick my ass any day of the week, and I would be most gratefully happily on it. I tell you what, we need some Sarah Kerrigan cosplays. We really do. Yeah. Fap time.
Yeah. BRB, going to fap.
Yes, exactly. Well, mind you, you was like that the other day with the Misty cosplay, weren't you? Yeah. That's just wrong, dude.
Got a bit off topic.
Yeah, I know it is, but like, we do that here. You should learn that by now.
Hey, you were speaking before of any news, like in the game industry. One, I was noticed on Rock Paper Shotgun, is the US government has now noticed League of Legends pro players as athletes.
As athletes?
Yes. It's the same as StarCraft in Korea. It's seen as a sport. LOL is now considered a sport in America.
Yeah, it's one of the most unhealthiest ones, as you sit there playing League of Legends, stuffing your face full of Doritos and drinking 20 gallons of Coke.
21 gallons of Coke, thank you very much.
is that your average consumption?
No, I'm just taking a piss.
Well, that's going on. One of the things I do like about StarCraft as well is that the mission structure is very, very good. They're not just all straightforward, build your base, go on.
Yeah.
Get them all this. There is. I was actually surprised at just the amount of variance there is in the missions.
Yeah.
About it, like I say, you got the one where the planet's going supernova. What's something else? And the nighttime one where basically you can build up during the day, get scanned up, but in the nighttime they really do pound you in hard.
Yeah.
So they really thought really fought very hard that. Was there any missions that stuck out for you?
The one where you had to go and collect that special gas for Tosh, where you had to go around the gas vents, and you had to do it like quickly, otherwise, you know, they'd seal it off. They'd always try and seal off the really easy ones fast. But it's kind of, you kind of just do the same thing each time, build up a massive ton of people, and then send them in.
Exactly. I did notice that there was actually quite a few competitive style missions where your opponent would be after the same thing.
Yeah.
And especially if you want the achievements for the game as well, you need to be blindingly quick to get some of them.
Yeah, you do. It's like excuse the reason, but yeah, some of them you just have to be Korean to do.
Well, that comes down to all part of the multiplayer side to it.
Yeah.
But the multiplayer is something else. So many people play that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that even puts Call of Duty on the consoles to shame, the amount of people that play multiplayer. You've not sat down and played a proper multiplayer game yet, have you? Against people.
No, I've only played versus AI. Well, I have played versus people, but not the standard StarCraft game. It's like sort of tower defense one that was, you know, like a mini game.
Yeah.
And they're pretty fun.
They are very good. That's one of the good things which StarCraft 2 has, which I'll get back to in a moment. But, me and Jenny have been offering you a beating on multiplayer, though, haven't we?
Yeah, and I'm still waiting for you. I'm okay, ready then, and waiting at any time. You're the one who's taking the piss.
Oh, fair enough, then. This beating will be broadcast live on Twitch.
Yeah, I'll broadcast it as well. A nice 1080p. Yeah,
exactly. So he's going to die in misery.
Yeah. Yeah, I can die in 1080p.
Yeah, high definition death. Hey, it's great fun. But that's a good thing. The other side is when you buy Wings of Liberty as well, you do get access multiplayer to all three races.
Yeah.
So you're not just limited to the Terrans. And also the free version as well also gives you access to the multiplayer as well.
Yeah.
And of recently, they actually produced a upgrade style interface. Where basically, because you've only got... you've only got Wings of Liberty. If you play with me and Jenny, who have Heart of the Swarm, your version, as long as you continue playing with us, your version will be upgraded to Heart of the Swarm for multiplayer.
Yeah, I found that really good. I am sick and tired of the games where one person has the DLC and the other person doesn't. You know, it just becomes a pay-to-win.
Yeah, it does. And because there is new units in Heart of the Swarm which aren't available in the original one, it basically doesn't mean they have to imbalance it or just keep them all out so everyone plays on the same level.
Yeah.
Which to me is a good idea, and Blizzard have always been very, very good when dealing with things like that.
Yeah.
On that one. Because when you look at people sit there and they look like Blizzard, it says Blizzard Activision, but Blizzard are the only company that's under Activision that has an enmity. Basically, Activision cannot tell Blizzard what to do.
Yeah, because... realistically, Blizzard could quite easily become their own publisher. They probably just don't want to because it'll be easier for them if they just sign a publisher instead, you know, Activision. So they've kind of, you know, the Activision could not tell Blizzard what to do, otherwise Blizzard will just go, bye!
Exactly. That's right. And I think there was one incident which I heard of where they tried to, but Blizzard kind of... cut them off on that one. But then that also leads into what's known as the StarCraft 2 Arcade.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing, which is basically Blizzard have given something which a lot of people want for PC. Modding tools!
Yeah, it's like you can create a game in a game.
In a game, exactly. Yeah. And that's what they've done. I've seen a Left 4 Dead clone in there. I'd say there's tower defense clones in there. There's even the one of the big projects which I saw, an MMO in there as well.
Yeah.
Which is what I come to, which is of StarCraft Universe. Now, this was a whole thing. This was a whole project that started off, and this is what I heard happen. They had done the project, they were working on it, and it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
It really does for what it was. And then, basically, Activision tried getting on the bandwagon and sit there and said, oh, you can't do this, blah, 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 blah. Why they were getting on that one was beyond me. But after all this, Blizzard stepped in, told Activision to fuck themselves, basically.
Yeah.
And they went, we will deal with this situation. So I'm imagining Blizzard will sit there and say, right, fine, they have this under control. So Blizzard have got the guys who made StarCraft Universe, brought them to Blizzard headquarters took him to the StarCraft 2 team and said, right, what you talk to him, get whatever you need.
Yeah.
Carry on and carry on the project. The only thing they asked for is if they were going to release a trailer that it goes through them. That's the only thing they asked for.
Yeah.
So I think Blizzard are watching this project very closely.
Well, yeah, because it could turn out to be a very big project, and if it does turn out to be very successful and, you know, go off like a bomb, then, you know, they can just be like, well, if, you know, we'll take over it. You know, they could essentially hire in the modern team into the company and then turn it into, like, instead of a mod, a proper game.
If they made StarCraft Universe into a proper game, it'll be, here is my money, here is my soul, take it now.
Yeah.
That is one of the games I will gladly sell my soul
for. Yeah.
But, there's a lot about these. So, when you buy StarCraft, you're not just getting StarCraft. Like I say, with the arcade, there's much, much more. You definitely get your money's worth with the whole ensemble for StarCraft 2.
Yeah.
And as I say, it comes up with a great story, a great multiplayer as well, plenty of people playing online. You will never, ever be short of a game. Just make sure you go into a rookie's room and so you don't get absolutely incarcerated. That's the tendency for multiplayer. I tend to play among friends with that one, because we're not all out to kill each other in 2 seconds flat.
Yeah.
that's the major scale thing. I remember once I went into a game room once, and you can switch your regions. And there was about seven people in there, including me. And then an eighth person come in, and he had a sort of Korean sort of name to him.
Yeah.
And someone just said, "Are you from a Korea?" And he's like, "Yes." The room empty. the room just went bang 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 gone.
It's like out of here.
Yeah, it was. It was just as, like, completely got out of here. But even the AI is, well, I've only played a few times. You played against the AI more than me.
Yeah.
What do you think of the AI?
It's a good, decent AI. It's, you know, it knows what to do, but it can be kind of predictable at times. Once you work out how the AI works, it's very easy to combat.
It's easy combat, but he spreads out very quickly.
Yeah, it's like, you know, by the time I've built, like, a second base, I look over the AI and he's got, like, four, and I'm like, hey, when did that happen?
Yeah, exactly. And especially if you're playing against Zerg, they just pop up anywhere.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look, there's an empty space there. Where'd that hatchery come from? Yeah. But that's also the good thing about the units inside the game as well. When you get a lot of the RTS games, did you play the Red Alert series?
No.
With a lot of other RTS games, what you find is, like, both sides are roughly the same sort of thing, or one side is drastically overpowered, and the other side has got lighter units but more damage outcome to kind of output for it.
Yeah.
And that's one thing which I always found a little bit sad.
Yeah.
That's it. StarCraft 2 has three very different races in how they're played and everything. And yet they are so perfectly balanced. I know Blizzard themselves released over the 11 years before StarCraft 2 actually came out. They were patching the original StarCraft up to the day StarCraft 2 came out.
Yeah.
With balances and everything. These guys are meticulous to making sure that the game is as balanced as can be.
Yeah. Something that Riot, for Makers of LoL, needs to take a lesson from.
But when you do look at the Terrans, they're basically like our military style sort of thing now, all tanks and various other. Do you really have a unit that? What's the unit for the Terrans that really stick out in your mind?
Thor.
Thor.
Partially because he breaks the fourth wall.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I'm here, click me. And it's like, at fourth wall zone, watch it.
Yeah. Well, it's the good thing, all the units have got their own personalities as well.
Yeah.
And do you keep clicking on the units as well?
What do you mean? Oh, do you mean, like, click on them just to view them, yeah?
No, keep clicking on them.
Oh.
And then they get ragged off with you. Because they've got all their usual lines,
yeah.
But if you just keep left clicking on them, give a space between click, let them finish, then eventually they start producing other lines,
yeah.
And it's usually quite humorous,
yeah.
As well, what they come out with. And that they even start quoting other games, films, and various other ones there. So just when next time you play it, just sit there, just get your unit and just keep clicking on it. And then just listen to what he has to say to you.
Yeah. I've noticed with the Thor as well, the voice is kind of, it meant to be sort of an Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I've noticed the guy, like the look of him, it looks like a metalhead. And plus there's all like disco lights in the cockpit. It's like, yeah, what on there?
Yeah, that is awesome. But where you look at the Terran Air Force, they're very clean, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're very good. And in the ground units, yeah, they're rough as hell. You look at the siege tank driver as well.
Yeah.
He sounds like a crazy drill sergeant.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And when you deploy that siege tank, Zerg die.
Yeah. My favourite it probably has to be the Terran because, one, the human, you can actually understand what the bloody saying, for one. Two, it's just their units. They kind of combat everything. They're also the most resourceful. You know, they can get anything they want, essentially. And, you know, they're the only one. They all have their little quirks as well. Like, with the Zerg, you have to have that black stuff on the floor. With the Protoss, you have to have a...
the pylons.
Pylons in range. A Terran, doesn't matter. Build anywhere. Don't care.
It does, but when you look at the Zerg, I found myself a Zerg. You could be sitting there, and if you got the money, you'd be like, "Oh look, I've got an empty base," and within 3 or 4 minutes, you've got about 200 units.
Yeah,
there and ready to go. So you could walk about a handful of tanks into a base. Oh, there's nothing there. Boom! Out of nowhere, we'll just come flying a legion, and I'm talking an absolute legion of Zerg.
Yeah.
And this is the good thing I like about the Zerg as well, because they've definitely got an inspiration from the alien from the Aliens films, because you just got to look at the Hydralisk.
Yeah.
For that one.
I think the Zerg is probably the most disgusting race, because everything's living in it, and the animations and everything, it just makes the whole thing just look disgusting.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, if you look at most of the Zerg as well, when you respond to them, they all spit on the screen.
Yeah. What's the biggest unit? It licks the screen as well.
Oh, you've not seen the Ultralisk.
Yeah, that
yet,
was
then.
The Ultralisk. It licks the screen.
Oh, I've seen. I think the Overlord. I think he does it as well. Yeah. He sits there like, you're like that's just disgusting.
It's like, mind my camera, man. You know, clean that a bit.
But that just goes to a point as well. Even the units have their own personalities as well.
Yeah.
Is that when you do look at the Zerglings, they've got the little chicky voice to them. But when you hear the Ultralisks, they've got the big booming growls and grunts.
Yeah.
And it's only things like the Hive Queens, they actually speak English.
Mm.
So it's like, yeah, well, I could kind of understand it. Kerrigan would want at least someone to talk to.
Yeah.
On that one. Yeah, but the Protoss, I do like this, the sort of mysticism that goes around them. They're very high-tech.
Yeah.
And very psychic as well. And like I say, they can work a lot on trickery and illusion as well. And... They have an impressive armada of ships too.
Yeah.
I find their vehicle bases a bit lacking.
Yeah.
On that one, apart from the Colossus, those things are awesome.
Yeah, they just annihilate everything.
Oh, they do, and it's like, oh look, there's a Colossus, and it just climbs up the cliffs to get them.
Yeah.
You're like, eh. So I think I played a multiplayer game once, and quite literally I had the Protoss mothership.
Mm.
And the best thing that's got is an ability called Recall. And basically anything that's underneath the mothership is cloaked.
Yeah.
And I had about 5 Colossuses and a mass of Zealots. I just teleported them all underneath the ship. And because who I was playing had no detectors, they couldn't see what... His base was just getting obliterated and he just couldn't fight back. Because I made sure I got all his... I made sure I got rid of any of his chance to get a detector back.
Mm.
So I was like, come on, just try it. So... You do have to protect yourself on each front.
Yeah.
On that one. Because, like I say, the Protoss do have a few stealth units as well. If you let too many Dark Templars into your base, then they can wreck it in a second.
Yeah.
It does take much. And again, so much tactics can be evolved in StarCraft. It's like each unit has to be handled differently. I remember back in the days of the Red Alert, if you're playing as Russia, then you sit there, yeah, let's build a massive mammoth tanks and let's just go stomp a base flat. There weren't really anything that could stop it.
Yeah.
And you're like sitting there like, yeah. Especially if you're playing the Allies as well. It's just like, yeah, I'm dead. you couldn't stop that onslaught. But I found with StarCraft, it doesn't matter what your opponent chucks at you. If you're good at that game, you will have a countermeasure. And each race has a countermeasure for each of them, yeah. Even for their own type.
Yeah.
As well. So, but all in all, it was a long time coming. It definitely was a long time coming for that game.
Yeah.
And it deserved the accolades it got on this one. If you're... What's your humble opinion, being the new guy to the series?
I really like StarCraft. One of the most fun RTSs I've played. The characters are all likable characters, and they all feel like characters. They're not, you know, empty shells sort of thing. The graphics are quite nice as well. It's an overall good quality game.
It's definitely worth time. Well, let's say with the characters, when you first see Jim Raynor, he's in a bar, he's drinking, and let's say he's Marshall, and you're like thinking you get the feeling of an old fashioned Western Marshall with him.
Yeah.
That's Jim Raynor, yeah. And you're like thinking, yeah.
And then Tychus comes in, you just think, what, hardened war veteran.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just a shame of what he got up to the end and Rain had to drill a bullet in his head.
Yeah.
Spoilers! Yeah. But trust me, that ain't spoiling much.
Yeah.
Because, it's got 26 missions, and that was roughly the size of the first game in its entirety.
Yeah.
But the question I want to ask you, are you going to buy Heart of the Swarm?
Probably. When I get some spare money. When I recover from the Steam Summer Sale.
Oh, fair enough. Because you want to see the next part of the trilogy, do you?
Yeah, it is a good game, and I did enjoy it.
Yep, good. Well, like I say, what we'll do then, mate, is when you get Heart of the Swarm eventually, we'll podcast again, and we'll do Heart of the Swarm.
All
right. So we could get over your opinions. But like I say, it carries on immediately where Wings of Liberty left off. So if anybody's thinking of getting that one, no, you need Wings of Liberty first.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for it. So definitely worth it. Right. I think that's us done for this fortnight, mate.
Yep.
Okay, anybody you want to give a shout-out to?
No.
Nobody on YouTube you found that was interesting?
No, I don't really. I don't watch people play games. I just play the game.
So Profanova basically hates YouTube. No.
I just don't bother watching it. But I watch a few videos, but meh.
Yeah. It depends what they do. This is why I like Stuart Ashens. He's the only person I know that's brave enough to basically review crap that gets sold in Poundland.
Mm.
Please tell me you've watched Stuart Ashens.
No.
Oh.
I don't watch YouTube. I follow like a couple of people and that's it. Most of them I follow are like fucking Mondo Media. And that's one of the main things I follow.
I will have to introduce you to Ashes then. Anyways, right, rounding up now. Thank you for joining us, mate, and hopefully you'll be on a few more in the future.
I will.
So it will give us more ability to swap over between who's doing the show.
Alright.
So have you enjoyed yourself, mate?
Yeah, I have.
Indeed, good. Just want to give a shout out for what's going on here. The site is currently undergoing reconstruction. If you want to, there is stuff on the site for you to come and watch. Especially our views. We do live streams as well from time to time, so we hope to get some sort of schedule up to what we're doing. But we always put them on the site anyway for whatever evening of fun that we've had, so you'll be able to check them there. So if you want to check out www.rmifusion.com, please sign up. We've got lots more there. We are also expanding our operation to be covering anime, tokusatsu, and films. So if you're a fan of any of those as well, we will also be including those in our forte.
Shameless self-promotion.
Yes, you just cannot beat a good bit of self-promotion. Mm. Well, you got a Poke product. Okay, so that's us done for this fortnight. It's a big goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
And we'll see you all soon. Hello everyone, welcome back to the RMI Fusion Cast, where we sit down and we talk about games. And today, me...
You fucked it up already.
Yeah, I know I did. Let's start again, right? 3, 2, 1...